Hare Krishna. So everyone's coming here is a great success because you've all chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Many things to say. First things first, congratulations to all who have participated in the just finished book distribution marathon. Just finished for some. For others, it will continue. But especially during December, devotees all over the world, they make a special effort to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Is it? Radhesh Prabhu is acknowledging, he's leading a team there in Surat. They're all grihasthas. Grihastha means they stay in their home, but they don't stay in their home. They go to other people's houses and give them Prabhupada's books. So that's the real meaning of a grihastha. You go to other grihas and give them Prabhupada's books. So especially during December, everyone gets out and they distribute. And it goes on throughout the year. There's so many devotees. Hotamai. If I don't mention you, don't mind. Because I can't remember all the names. But especially Acharya Prabhu, his amazing contribution. That I presume he knows how to speak Dutch because he's from Holland. And he speaks something almost like English. It's different to the almost like English that is spoken in India. And goes in the towns of Tamil Nadu, small towns where no one knows any other language except Tamil. And somehow or other, every day he distributes several Srimad Bhagavatam sets in Tamil. So this is called Achintya Shakti. Prabhu Vishnu Swami told me that Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, told him on several occasions that book distribution is the guru's business. So Acharya, it's a good name for Acharya Das. So the grihasthas also in Salem, especially the Matajis, is it? They're going in the colleges. They also are saying Acharya has Achintya Shakti. So Mataji means Shakti. So generally Matajis, they are the Shakti by which everyone is in Maya in this world. But by distributing Prabhupada's books, they're getting everyone out of Maya, including themselves. So, thank you for that. Bhagavad Darshan is going on. Subscriptions in Gujarat. How many now? How many subscribers? 20,000. 24,000. 24,000 subscribers. O pichle saal mein kitna subscriber bana hai? 22,000. 22,000 ek saal mein. Ek saal pehle kali 2,000. 2,000 subscriber. 22,000 in the last year. Matlab subscription say alag. 22,000. I see. Or how many subscribers, Banaya, Pichle Saal mein? Renewal is going on. In Tamil also, Bhagavad Darshan. How many issues in a month? That Sri Giridhari should know. 9,000. 5,000. Okay. They started a little after the Gujaratis, so they have to catch up. You can have a competition. Prabhupada liked that. Book distribution competition. One time, Tamal Krishnaraj, he had his whole party, so many buses going all over America. And still, the Los Angeles temple alone beat all his buses all over America. That news was given to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Tamal will have a heart attack. He liked that. He liked that book distribution competition. But it shouldn't get too much competition. Just like one time in Gainesville, they had a competition, the Gainesville Temple versus the whole Radha Damodar Party. And the Gainesville Temple, what they did, in the morning they gave such a big feast to the Radha Damodar Party devotees that they couldn't distribute anything. So, so anyway, yeah, go on. There's so many things to do in Srila Prabhupada's service, but Srila Prabhupada always emphasized that if this book distribution is carried on, then everything will be a great success. So we can see practically here now in India, there's tremendous scope for spreading Krishna consciousness. There's so many, wherever we go, there's just people are ready, but we don't have the manpower to reach to them all. So at least give Prabhupada's books. And we find that just by reading the books, people are taking up Krishna consciousness also. And not only in India, in other parts of the world also. In Croatia, for instance, as you're from Croatia. Anywhere, practically, there's good scope now. The effect of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books all these years and doing Harinams and festivals, the combined effect is that people are becoming inclined to Krishna consciousness. So I remember when I was distributing books in England, I can still remember that I was there, that was what, more than 30 years ago, distributing books. And I can still remember like the two or three people I met in all those months of book distribution who actually showed any interest in the books. People just weren't interested. We just showed George Harrison's name and that would more or less sell the book. Otherwise people weren't interested. But it's changed. It's changed. So there's great scope. So please continue with this. Push on the book distribution. Then that will keep everything healthy. Of course, we have to see also that everything is kept in order. Proper Siddhanta is preached and followed. There are so many things to do. Varnashram to establish. Anyway, we'll get through to that later. So, welcome to one and all to this holy place of Rameshwaram. Who's coming here for the first time? Please raise your hand. Yeah, most. For me, it's the third time in this lifetime. I first came here, it must have been 1990. I was traveling around different Divya Deshams and holy places and we were doing book distribution. We had a party. The only devotee who's still with me from that time is Nityananda Ram, who was at that time Bhakta Nishakant. Those of you who've been in Gujarat, know Him. So this is a special holy place. Of course, all the holy places are special, but unique about Rameshwaram. Well, one thing is one of the what are called the Char Dhams, the four holy places in the four points of India, which are considered sacred to all Hindus. So this is in the south. Now you may think, well, Kanyakumari is really in the south. But it seems that this is considered the Dhanushkoti, is considered the south point, inasmuch as Dhanushkoti is, if you just go in through the sand now, there's just sand to the end of the island, the other end of the island is Dhanushkoti, where Lord Ram, with his bow, broke the bridge between Bharat and Lanka. So you can see there how the two seas, they meet. That means the what is in modern language called the Bay of Bengal, or in Puranic language, Mahodati. And what in modern language is called the Arabian Sea, which in Puranic language is called Ratnaka. You can see how they just, the two currents come together there. So that's considered the southern point in that sense. So this is special in that sense. It's special in the sense that it's a place of pilgrimage for devotees of Vishnu and of Shiva and for Gauriya Vaishnavas also, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited here. Nityananda Prabhu visited here. So this is a... Of course, people often ask, how is it that Ram worshipped Shiva? If Ram is supposed to be supreme, how could he worship Shiva? Not understanding what is the nature of the supreme. The people who think that the supreme means you just have to kick on everyone's head all the time. Because that's what the material conception of being supreme is. But the supreme is not only the supreme controller, but he's the supreme affectionate. He's bhaktavatsala. He's loving to his devotees. Particularly Bhagavan Ramachandra as Maryada Purushottam, the supreme personality of Godhead, who demonstrates the principles of proper human behavior. He worships Lord Shiva, even though it's the duty of a kshatriya, and Ram took the role of a kshatriya. To what is the duty of a kshatriya? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata duskritam. Duty of a kshatriya is to protect the saintly people and destroy the wicked. So Krishna says, I come to do that. He does it in an exemplary way. But as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the kshatriyas do that. And when they can't do it, then when the demons are too much, then Krishna himself comes. And not only delivers the sadhus from the demons, but delivers them both. Liberates them from the material world, and particularly sends the sadhus to him. So Lord Ram, acting as a human being, even though it is the proper activity of a kshatriya to vanquish sinful people who cause disturbance to others, still... Maryada, what is the limit? It's difficult to say what is the limit. Once you start fighting, what is the limit? Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he went to punish the Yakshas, who, because one Yaksha had killed his brother, Uttama. But according to Swayambhuva Manu, his grandfather, their grandfather, Dhruva went beyond the limit in killing too many. So the Kshatriyas, they may be, anyway, in any activity, Sava Rambahido Shena, in any activity, there is inbuilt fault in the material world. However much you try to be good in this material world, by its very nature, it's inbuilt. That you can't avoid doing something wrong. Of course, Lord Ram, he never does anything wrong. If anyone thinks Ram does anything wrong, they are wrong. But to show the proper etiquette or proper behavior, Lord Rama, as an expiation, prayaschitta, he asks, after killing Ravana, who, after all, he didn't act like a Brahmana, but he was the son of a Brahmana, Rishi. So for killing a Brahmana, what should he do? So he worshipped Lord Shiva. He was directed to worship Lord Shiva. So that doesn't decrease the glory of Ram. It's no evidence that he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, it increases his glory and demonstrates also that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not subject to our ideas of what he should be. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his own terms. And because he is affectionate, kind, loving, merciful, then his own terms are not nasty terms. If we see some despot, like, means an evil ruler. There are so many in the history of the modern world. Prajaste bhakshiyashyanti mlecha rajanya rupina. In the modern age, the people from mlecha class, very low class people, they will take the role of leaders and simply exploit the citizens. So some do so in a more civilized way, you could say, or roundabout way. And some do so in a very gross way. So those who do so in a very gross way, just like Stalin was there, Idi Amin, he's not so well known, but he used to, Prajaste Bhakshayashyanti. It means, literally, that they eat this, the citizens. So Idi Amin in Uganda literally ate the flesh of some of his political opponents. Is that known in East Africa? People all know that? He's well known, huh? What do they think? Anyone? Does he have any supporters? No, no one thinks he was good. So there are such sinful despots like that who rule on their own terms. And they rule by fear. So every kshatriya must rule by fear. There must be some element of fear. Otherwise, just like we see, when Vena was killed, even though he was a rogue himself, but he kept the other rogues in control. But when he was killed, then all the rogues, they had no fear. There was no king. So they just did what they liked. So some element of fear was there, but Bhagavan Ram, he ruled by love. The citizens of Ayodhya, they loved him. And for those who were, of course there were no such people, but had there been such people, they would have been punished by Lord Ram. So that is his duty to do so. But he shows the ideal, affectionate king, who may also worship Lord Shiva. Of course, we're not recommended to, as Vaishnavas, we're not recommended to on a regular basis worship various demigods. But when we come to a holy place of Lord Shiva like this, we should certainly visit the temple, bow down, pray to Lord Shiva. How do we pray to him? Kshirang yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitataf prithagasti hetoho yashambhutam apitata samapaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. If we worship him like this, he'll be very happy that he is non-different from Vishnu in the same way that yogurt is non-different from milk. But still it's different. They have a different effect. Yogurt is produced from milk, not that you can make milk from yogurt. So this is the example given that Lord Shiva is Lord Vishnu in one sense, but with a different activity, a different effect. He is the servant of Govinda, who is the original person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Shiva is also eternal. But Krishna is known as Govindam Adi Purusha. He is the source of all living beings, even though the living beings are eternal. But he is the source. He is the controller of all. And all others serve him, including Lord Shiva. But in recognition of his great service and in recognition of his position, Lord Shiva's position as Parameshwar, the supreme controller within this material world, deputed by the actual Parameshwar, Vaikunthanath, Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram worships Lord Shiva. So there are many pastime places on this sacred island connected with Bhagavan Ram. This is the place where there's a name for that. The place where they all mounted the or prepared for the attack on Lanka. Place where Hanuman jumped and arrived back with the ring of Sita. And so you can visit there, all these different places. Balaram, of course, also visited here. And so many great Vaishnavas have visited, great saintly people have visited. That is one feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he comes to this world in his as Krishna, the original form, and as his various avatars, particularly in this holy land of Bharat. And following that, following his coming, various saintly persons, they also visit all the holy places. So the holy places are pure. How are they holy? Because of Bhagavan. He goes there, remains there in his deity form. And then various sadhus, they also come and they make the holy places even more holy. You may say, well, how can it be more holy if Bhagavan himself has come? But that is the version of Bhagavatam. Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabhu. Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gatabrita. Yudhishthira addressed Vidur that you are a great devotee. You have visited all the holy places. By your presence, the Tirthas, this place is known as Rama Tirtha, or Rama Tirtha is here, they are made into Tirthas. By your presence. Tirtha literally means a ford, that which nowadays people think a car, but actually ford, it means a crossing place where you can cross over a river. In a place where the river is shallow, you can walk across. It's easy to cross. So generally, this material world, it is known as Bhavasaga. It is the ocean of birth and death. Insurpassable. Bahut mushkil nahi hai, nahi karna hai. Insurpassable. Impossible. But a tirtha means where it becomes just like a small river that you can just walk across. But most people, they come not for crossing the material world, but for getting some benediction for remaining in the material world. Just like at Lakshman Kund, where I've been chanting japa for the last 2 mornings. Just in front of that, there is a Naga Mandir. And there it's written in English, Hindi, and I presume the Tamil writing says the same thing, that you can pray here to get free from not getting married problem, childlessness problem, and Naga Dosha, which I guess that means, I'm not exactly sure what Naga Dosha means, but I guess it's some astrological thing. Is it? Wait. Anyone can tell me? It's probably some astrological thing where the snakes don't like you. So you can get free from that. But Lakshman's Tirtha is there. Lakshman Tirtha. So Lakshman can take you right out of the material world. Then you don't have to worry about getting married. That will be arranged for you there. In the spiritual world, husbands and wives, you don't find sannyasis. Everyone's married. And childlessness problem isn't there also. Of course, Mother Yashoda, it seems for a long, but then she gets at the end. It's worth waiting for. The child that she got was worth waiting for in her old age. And Naga Dosha, there's no such thing. There's no dosh. In the spiritual world, there's no fault. But people don't know, therefore the holy people, they go to the holy places, the sadhus, and they give their association, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he acts as a sadhu, and he goes from place to place, specifically here in South India. He visited so many places, all over, completely covered so many holy places. If you're living in a place where there's an ancient temple, and it's not mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you may feel sorry that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come here. But probably he did. Because not all the places that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited are mentioned, but it's Krishna's Kaviraj says that he visited all the holy places left and right. So just like just outside Salem, now it's probably within the city, there's a place that Lord Ram visited. So it's not mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but most probably he visited there. So wherever he went, he performed Hari Kirtan, and he would instruct the people to perform Hari Kirtan, and among the pandits, it seems especially, he would give them instruction, Bhaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shiksha. He would instruct them in the teachings of Vaishnavism. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made the Tirthas into Tirthas by giving instruction. So ISKCON should have centers in all these holy places. Of course, it's difficult to instruct people because there's so much in the consciousness of coming just to get some material benefit. But at least we can distribute Prabhupada's books in the holy places. And that will be the best benefit they get from coming to the holy place. Otherwise, yat tirtha buddhi salalena karhi jijjanesh vabhigneshu sa eva gokara. People who go to a holy place and think that their whole work is done just by bathing there or taking darshan, they're no more intelligent than an animal. The real benefit to be had is by hearing from sadhus. People have no idea of that. Of course, people do just like here in Goswami Madam. I was trying to understand what Madam is. Matam. See, Madam, Madam. It's sounded to me strange. No, it means Matam. So various groups come and they have katas. But actually, unless they're followers of a genuine Vaishnava sadhu, then these katas, that will also keep them in the material world. And they come, actually, thinking they'll get some punya. They come to hear these katas. They think they'll get some punya for living peacefully, happily in the material world, which isn't possible. It's ironic. Hare Krishna. Does the sound okay? I didn't hear the Hindi translation stopped. Everything okay in the Hindi translation department? At least I didn't hear the sound. Wondering at the lotus feet of Krishna. They may even say that they're doing that, but they don't have a clear understanding of who Krishna is and what it means to surrender to him. So it's required that in all places that there be genuine devotees who speak these topics. we're distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, but the topics that are in there need to be spoken also. It's clear from the text of the Bhagavatam and from the Bhagavad Gita that it is not meant just for those who heard it at that time, but it's meant for repetition. Shrinvatam Shrataya Nityam. We find in Bhagavad, there are many such verses where it's said that those who regularly hear Grinatas Chasva Cheshtitam, taking the subject matter very seriously, Kalena Nati Dirghena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi, that within a not very long time, the Supreme Lord will enter the heart of such persons. So, Bhagavatam is meant for speaking. Gita is meant for speaking to others. But Srila Prabhupada emphasizes very much in his purports in the first canto, near the beginning of the first canto especially, that what is the proper attitude required of the speaker and of the hearer, that they get the same, that the same result is generated as was between Shukadeva and Parikshit. That Parikshit, although he was a pure devotee of from before birth, even in the womb, he was such a special devotee that Krishna personally saved him. But Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports that for further development, here Krishna arranged that Shukadev Goswami, for Parikshit's further development, he sent Shukadev so that Parikshit could hear from him. So, even if you are a pure devotee on the level of Parikshit, still there is further development. There's no end to how much one can develop. So if these, of course, it's very rare to find a speaker exactly on the level of Shukadev or a hearer exactly on the level of Parikshit. But the attitude should be of that much seriousness that we want to hear in such a way, just like also the rishis headed by Shonaka. They didn't even want to hear about Parikshit, and yadi Krishna Katashrayam. We would like to hear about Parikshit's punishing the personality of Kali, if those topics are in relationship to Krishna. So that is the point. What does it mean to surrender to Krishna? Who is Krishna? What does it mean to surrender to him? Otherwise, in the name of bhakti, all kinds of strange things are going on. So there should be pure devotees who can... Pure means... That question came in one of the Prabhupada's... You'll find in about 1968, someone asked what was meant by pure devotee. And Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada said that you should be following, you should hear from and follow. This is disciplic succession. Hear from and follow. Which seems to be a very simple thing. Should be a very simple thing. Hear and follow. The difficulty is that we have our own agenda. We have our own motivations. We have our own way of thinking, by which, even if we hear from a pure devotee, we reinterpret it. Just like I was shown an article which appeared on some website which gave all very good reasons why we should celebrate Christmas and dress Krishna as Santa Claus. So, someone had the idea, They say it's good for preaching and this. They weren't thinking of how it's good for preaching, what we should do, but they were thinking how we should celebrate Christmas. And so it's not. And then they brought the preaching. Preaching is the excuse, right? Instead of preaching is the essence. Becomes so. It is possible to take Prabhupada's message, take the message of the Parampara, and twist it into something for our own desire, our own pleasure. So, what does it mean to follow? We have to see clearly. What is that? We may be bewildered. What does it mean to follow? But what is the essential principle? Should we do this? Should we do that? Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada, therefore this, that. The essential principle is Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Tare Premana. If you don't know this verse, learn it. All the other verses that you can learn, they're all to be understood in relation to this verse. If we don't get this, if we don't understand this one properly, then whatever else we understand will be on the mental platform at best. So that is that acting for personal satisfaction, personal sense enjoyment, that is called material lust, which, as we learn from Bhagavad Gita, it's a commonly used, or Krishna states several times, kama. And it does. There's nothing good Krishna has to say about kama. Jahi shatrum, it's the enemy to be conquered. And just the opposite of that, although similar but opposite. It may seem to be similar, but its quality is quite different. That acting for the pleasure of Krishna is known as prema. So this word prema is often used by people who speak in such assemblies, professional Bhagavad reciters. And the Prakriti Sahajya Sampradaya of supposed Gauriya Vaishnavas, they're very fond of this word prema. So that's good to be fond of the word. Prema is our prayojan, that is the ultimate aim of everything that we do in Krishna consciousness. And actually we shouldn't do anything but in Krishna. Only we should act in Krishna consciousness. The goal of that is prema, but what is that prema? Prema means to act kayena manasava cha, everything. It's body, mind, words, simply for Krishna's pleasure. So it's a simple principle to understand, but it seems to be elusive in practice. But that is the principle that is to be preached, that by such preaching, the tirthas become tirthas. Tirtha kurvanti tirthani. How do the tirthas become tirthas? By the sadhus who preach and give the proper understanding to the people who come there, by which they can cross over this material world and come to the lotus feet of Krishna. And even if a holy place is not a holy place, it's not a recognized holy place, the sadhus who go there, they make that into a holy place. Just like anyone who has visited this 26 Second Avenue in New York City. New York City, for those of you who have not been there, you may not know, you should know, it's not a holy place. It's a very unholy place. But the atmosphere in that little storefront temple is spiritually surcharged. Because Srila Prabhupada spoke there so many times. His hopes for fulfilling the wishes of his own spiritual master and that of all the previous acharyas, they took root there. Srila Prabhupada planted that root of Krishna consciousness, which would spread into a great tree all over the world. He planted it there. And when it was just a little bit firm, his own disciples there, they didn't think it was firm. They didn't think they could go on without it. It was just a little bit firm. Then he went on to somewhere else to preach Krishna consciousness. So that spiritual atmosphere can be appreciated there. That, not that New York is a holy place, but particularly that spot, that the spiritual atmosphere is very powerful there. That is a tirtha for the followers of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada made so many tirthas throughout the world by his presence. And now, all over the world, more and more places are becoming tirthas, in as much as the message of the spiritual world which Srila Prabhupada brought, that is being spread to more and more places. Just like probably most of us, those of us who are not from Russia, recently we heard the name of a place in Russia for the first time, Tomsk. Now Tomsk has become world famous because some demons there made a court case against Bhagavad Gita as it is. That means the devotees are preaching there. They're distributing Bhagavad Gita there. They made a center there. And the demons didn't like it. So it's actually a very good sign that in the Indian Parliament, mostly all the MPs, they stood against, they were outraged at that. How can you be against Bhagavad Gita? Although I doubt if any of them ever read Bhagavad Gita. But it's still, they have the sentiment. At least they have the sentiment that Bhagavad Gita is something good. We should go to them and tell them, now you read Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada in the early 1970s, when there wasn't even any center in Delhi, he had Tejas Prabhu go to all the MPs and MLAs and make them life members and preach to them. In those days, we weren't so advanced. We didn't have any techniques for making people life members. We didn't know any techniques of flattering them or telling them you'll get there. There weren't any facilities anyway. So the only way to make them a life member was to go and preach to them the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And Tejas made, I think, over 200 life members from among the MLAs there. So we should go there and we should go and preach to these people and tell them to take up Krishna consciousness. So anyway, what was I talking about? Yeah, everywhere we should have devotees who can preach, and there are more and more holy places being made all over the world. Still the places that Srila Prabhupada, he preached in, they're very special. As more and more centers of ISKCON are established all over the world, those deities that were actually established directly by Srila Prabhupada, even though Krishna is Krishna, but particularly because this Krishna is Prabhupada's Krishna, who Prabhupada personally installed and you can still see the footage of Srila Prabhupada in complete ecstasy and all his disciples in ecstasy, establishing Radha Gokulananda in London. Unfortunately, at that time, I was just living a few miles away, but I had no idea of these things. So unfortunate to miss that. So that will be something very special, Prabhupada. Already, deities installed by Prabhupada. It may be that definitely the number of ISKCON centers is far more than those personally established by Srila Prabhupada. So still these holy places in India, there are so many. Rameshwaram is one of these special places. They have their special atmosphere. We can appreciate that when we come here. That's a very great facility of the land of India, even now, which is not there much in the Western world. In the Western world, if you're living in Europe, you can go to this Simhachalam in Germany. Simhachalam is in Andhra Pradesh, there's also Simhachalam in Germany. So you can visit the centers of ISKCON, but still these places in India, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Nathdwara, they have a special atmosphere because the whole town is centered around the deity, just like here Rameshwaram. Everything's in connection with the deity and people coming here for darshan. That's there, according to the census, latest census, or the most recently made one, the population of Rameshwaram is 30-something thousand, this town here. But there'll always be more than 30,000 people here because there are always visitors. So whoever lives here, they're means of subsistence, or it's all directly or indirectly connected with the temple and pilgrimage. So that's the whole Nathdwara, the same, Vrindavan, the same. Of course, because Vrindavan's a little bit big, they're also administrators and there'll be lawyers, but it's the whole town is there because of Krishna. And this whole town is here because of Bhagavan Ram, Bhagavan Shiva. So it creates such an atmosphere that everyone is coming here and living here because of Rama, because of Shiva. Even there here in Rameshwaram, we'll find there are churches and Christians, but they're also, whatever living they're making, that may be connected. Well, there are fishermen also. I guess that's not connected directly. But they have to sell the fish to someone. So the people who come to buy the fish, they may be also devotees, directly or indirectly. So there's the atmosphere is going on for literally hundreds and thousands of years. People have been coming here. That has a cumulative effect. That when we realize that how many millions of years people have been coming here just to bow their head because Lord Rama, here, he came here. This is an important place of Rama's pastimes. So many holy people. Even the people who are not holy who come here, they become holy and that's why they come here. Sinful people also come, but they have enough piety to think that by coming here, I will become free from sin. So even sinful people come. But sinful, but like that. They have enough faith that by coming here, I will become purified. So like that, we want to make now this holy places. That design is there, poster is there, of Radha Gokulananda Temple in Salem. So we want to make that a holy place. That means people will come, visit, take darshan. Krishna, we're praying that He will come. You have to start praying. He doesn't come that easily. You can't even get close. You see, Lord Brahma came to pray. He could only be at the edge of the milk ocean. He couldn't go directly. So then Krishna came. So we're asking Krishna to come in our midst. It's not just that you get some money, you get some bricks, you go to Jaipur and say, okay, I'll have that one. And then you come back and you chant some mantras and Krishna comes. It's not like that. Krishna comes when there are His devotees. So we have to, now, we have to pray. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatame. Krishna, please come. Otherwise, why should He come? Just because someone wants to make a temple and get some money. Deity you can install like that. You can get some money and live comfortably. But Krishna won't manifest Himself. So we want Krishna to come, not so that we can live comfortably, but so that people, this temple is built for the glorification of Radha Gokula Ananda, for the glorification of Srila Prabhupada, who brought Radha Gokula Ananda to this world, so that Srila Prabhupada's mission may be fulfilled. So the best way to bring Radha Gokula Ananda to Salem is first of all in the whole area, just fill it with Prabhupada's books. Go everywhere, preach Krishna consciousness. Do kirtan everywhere. Then, in that atmosphere, Krishna will like to come. Otherwise, why should He want to come? He'll be very happy to come. If the atmosphere is one that, Krishna, we're calling you here, not, of course, people will come, and they will ask for material benedictions. That is expected. But it should be a place for teaching. Teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna Himself comes to this world to teach Bhagavad Gita. So that teaching should go on, Bhagavad Gita as it is. So devotees should also be there who are speaking and living the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. And that will make the atmosphere in which Krishna is pleased to come. Devotees, they should be tirthas. That by their association, people give up their long-standing desires to enjoy this material world. They give up their hope. By associating with devotees, people should become hopeless. That should be the effect. Generally, people go to sadhus very hopefully. The sadhu will bless me. I tried so many other things. Let's try the sadhu. All my plans failed. Let me go to the sadhu. He will bless me. People, they go on durasha with so many hopes. I will enjoy this material world. But by coming to the sadhus, they should become completely hopeless. There is no hope of any enjoyment in this material world. By hearing that and seeing that the devotee himself is very happy, that may make them think. He's saying there's no happiness in this material world, but he's happy. What's going on? It seems to be some contradiction. And he's a learned person, and he doesn't seem like he wants to cheat me, like all the other sadhus I met before. So how is it that he's saying there's no happiness in this material world? He's in the material world and he's happy. How is that? But then you have to understand, he's not in the material world. So, by associating with such devotees, you can also get the idea how to come out of this material world. That should be the purpose of building the temples. That should be the purpose of practicing Krishna consciousness. preaching. Again, it's not just a formula that you learn some verses or you just tell people chant Hare Krishna, but if we're living in Krishna consciousness, then we can actually preach Krishna consciousness and communicate that to others. Preaching, that can be on the mental platform also. Just some idea. But if we're experiencing Krishna consciousness by actually surrendering to Krishna, surrendering, of course, there are six divisions, but the essence of that, of Shadvidha Sharanagati, is Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. That's simply to act Krishnarte Akhila Cheshta. Everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And that will make one happy. And that will be attractive to others. And then they can be benefited. You should simply think how to benefit others. Knowing that they can only be benefited by Krishna consciousness. And for that purpose, build a temple. Otherwise, so many people are building temples. So many people are preaching. But we want to give the actual message of the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada, he gave that message, and we want to give that. That's all. So, as I was saying, we're fortunate to be assembled here in Rameshwaram, this holy place. Devotees asked me, should they do this 24 baths? You can do. Lord Ram did. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to the holy places, he would bathe in the river, or here we bathe in the sea. So you can do that. In the consciousness of following in the footsteps of Bhagavan Ram, in the consciousness of following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying to the personality. If you're bathing in Ganga, you can bathe to Ganga Devi for her blessing. She's flowing from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Please carry us to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So in that consciousness, we can do that. We can perform kirtan. We should perform kirtan wherever we go. From my perspective, this lecture, speaking to you all, that is very important also. You should come and hear this lecture, what I have to say to you. But in one sense, you don't have to come here. You could just do kirtan in any place. Or you could listen to a Prabhupada lecture in any place. But as in the service of Srila Prabhupada, I've accepted most of you here, I think, my disciples. So it's my important duty to speak to you. Otherwise, what does it mean to be a guru and what does it mean to be a disciple? There should be some exchange. And that exchange, of course, in various ways, there may be exchanges. The disciple may bow down to the guru, may offer garlands, may offer some prasadam. And so many sweet exchanges may be there. But principally, the guru-disciple relationship is established on the basis of speaking, well, hearing, which means there should be speaking. So I should have something important to say to you. Otherwise, what am I doing here? If I don't have anything important to say, then why should you sit here and listen? Why should you come here and listen? So this is the purpose in, or the we can say the important purpose in coming to a holy place. Otherwise, all other things may be there. Yet tirtha buddhi salelena karhijij. But if we only come to a holy place to bathe, take darshan, we didn't get the full purpose. The main thing. Srila Prabhupada explains this verse that, because in the verse itself, it just it literally means tirtha buddhi, which means the in this context we can say the understanding of visiting a tirtha is in the water. So in other words, people who think that visiting a tirtha means just water, in other words, just taking a bath. So, of course, Krishna, this verse, he spoke to the various rishis so they could understand. But the acharyas give their commentary so that we can understand. So Srila Prabhupada explains this, following the previous acharyas, that those who come to a holy place and think that their visit to a holy place is complete simply by taking a bath, then such people's intelligence is not very developed. They haven't understood the actual purpose of coming to a holy place. So Srila Prabhupada explains that coming to a holy place, the real purpose is to hear from the saintly persons who are there. So in this regard, our acharyas have written, Tirtha jatra parishram keval mane brahm sarva siddhi gobinda charam. This Narottam Das writes that. Visiting various holy places is just hard work. It's just a lot of effort. Parishram. Yes. And the result of that is simply the mind becomes more confused. So the real perfection, or all perfection, is at the lotus feet of Govinda. So he's, in that sense, he seems to be speaking against visiting various holy places. And in fact, we see in the life of Narottam, what we can understand by narrating the history of his life. In his youth, he ran away from home. Literally ran. He was running. Running. Practically, he didn't stop. Like Raghunath Das ran from home to Puri. Practically, he didn't stop even for eating or sleeping. Practically, he ran all the way. From Bengal to... Raghunath Das ran from Bengal to Puri. And Narottam Das, he ran. Arrived in Vrindavan in a famished condition. I mean, he didn't even think, he didn't want to eat, he didn't want to stop. So he ran there. Later he was sent back to Bengal by his guru, Jiva Goswami. And he came back, and he came back to his birthplace, and practically he didn't visit, he didn't travel here and there, he stayed in one place. But he practically demonstrated Sarva Siddhi Govinda Charan. That all perfection is at the lotus feet of Govinda. So Narottam Das, by sitting in one place, he made that place a holy place, Kheturi, his birthplace. That is a holy place by his presence there. And he brought all the great Vaishnavas of his time. They all came there. So he's teaching that simply, let me visit this place, let me visit that place. Simply then we become more bewildered. Just like I told this anecdote several times. Many years ago I was residing in ISKCON, Calcutta. And the accountant there was a hired man by the name Dasgupta. I don't know if he's even alive now. This is like 30 years ago. If he's alive, he must be an old man. So anyway, he took leave at one point for 2-3 days. Then he came back and he was looking very happy. He said, "Everything finished. I took bath, did the Ganga Saga Snan on the appropriate day. And that's it. Now I don't have to do anything else. I'm liberated." That's what he thought. He's coming every day to the temple of Krishna, Radha Krishna. Hindu man, every day he'll come and at least fold his hands before the deity. Probably bow down, I can't remember. Probably bow down. In Bengal they have the culture of bowing down still, more than in other places. And every day he was taking Krishna's prasadam. But he thought, I went to Ganga Sagar, I took bath there, now I'm liberated. So, what to say of such a person? He didn't get any transcendental knowledge. Even though he was every day at the temple of Radha Krishna, not just any Radha Krishna, if we can speak like that. Prabhupada's beautiful Radha Govinda. They're also unique. There are no deities in the world with the same facial expression as Govinda, Prabhupada's Govinda, at 3C Albert Road, Calcutta. So people, they go to different hotels, like these Ayappa people, they go to all these places, but they don't get any spiritual knowledge. They think they're getting benefit, but the real benefit is at the lotus feet of Govinda. In this context, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said, "Je tirte Vaishnav nai, she tirte te nahi jai." Let's look at this. "Ki lab hatiya duradesh, jatai Vaishnav gon sheish than Vrindavan, sheish thane ananda ashesh." Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in that tirtha, where there is no Vaishnava, that's not really a tirtha at all. Because people, they don't cross over birth and death by going to such a tirtha. They don't get the actual, what a tirtha is, a place for crossing birth and death, that is not affected if one does not get the association of Vaishnavas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what is the use of walking such a long distance? Because in those days, generally still the culture was that to go on Tirtha Yatra means walking. So those of you from Himachal Pradesh who wanted to make Rameshwaram Yatra, it took a long time to come, maybe 3 or 4 days travel, but anyone who came from there previously, they would have had to walk maybe 3 or 4 months. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what is actually gained by walking such a long distance? Where there are Vaishnavas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that place is Vrindavan, and in that place there is unlimited bliss. So in this regard, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said, "Gaura mara jeshabashthane karalo brahmana ronge sheshabashthana heribo ami pranayi bhakata shonge." Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says that I do not wish to go to any supposed holy place if there is no Vaishnav there, he aspires to visit every holy place that was visited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Koralo Brahmana Ronge, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great happiness traveled to so many holy places. So Bhaktirup Thakur aspires to visit all such holy places in the association of loving devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we're all, by Prabhupada's mercy, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in visiting these holy places. But from my perspective, if I can, by speaking, impress on you what is the importance of visiting these, what is the actual importance of visiting these holy places, then that is my duty performed. So as you have come, mostly those of you are coming are my disciples. So you can come anytime here. You can visit holy places. It's good to visit holy places. But special feature here is that I have to speak to you. Other things we're also doing, kirtan, prasad distribution, but particularly you have gathered, and I'm scheduled to give another 3 lectures during this time. So please come here. I'm not with any of you most of the time, with the exception of Vrindavan Chandrababu and Madhu Kanta Prabhu are traveling with me. But that also may be just for some time. Because usually devotees who stay with me don't stay for such a long time. And usually after they've been with me for some time, I send them somewhere. Now you go and do something, preach somewhere. So mostly I don't see you, but at least time to time, like this, we have some yatras, get-togethers. So at this time, I'm able to speak to all of you. I'm not able to speak to all of you individually and be with you at every moment and tell you, you should do like this, you should do like that. But these yatras, they're important in as much as that which I have to communicate to you, particularly I can do as my disciple. There are many places I may go and speak. But speaking to disciples is somewhat different to speaking to a general crowd. Because with a general crowd, or general, even devotee, I mean, I'm talking about public lectures, or there may be various members of our society, devotees, but they can't be expected to take as seriously as what I say, as disciples are supposed to take seriously. So I'm trying to take seriously my role in instructing you. So I request you to take seriously your role also in hearing from me. Of course, there is a philosophy floating around that the only job of gurus or not really gurus is just to officiate in a ceremony. But I don't find anywhere in Prabhupada's teachings that he gives any such idea. Rather, he gives the idea that the role of a guru is a very important role, essential role. Everyone, tad vijnanatam sagurum eva abhigacchet. Everyone has to go to a guru for the sake of tad vijnanatam, receiving that knowledge, that science. By what is that vijnan? Of course, this word comes often in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, that by this vijnan, mukta sangasya jayate, one can become free. Of course, mukta That may generally mean, generally people think you get free from this material world, but free from material association, free from material conceptions. So that scientific knowledge by which one can understand everything. So, vigyan means scientific knowledge. Everything is in various categories. There are categories. Tattva. So there's jiva tattva, Vishnu tattva, Vaishnava tattva, Shakti tattva, Rasa tattva, all these categories, understanding them properly, that is the vijnana, or the scientific knowledge by which one should hear from a guru. So, I'm supposed to be communicating that to all of you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, among his immense contributions, the Guru is supposed to be a representative of all the previous acharyas. But all the... We have so many acharyas who each of their contributions are so immense that to attempt to represent them, it's beyond the capacity of a jiva to represent, what to speak of giving the message of Krishna, to represent what the acharyas have given. We have the acharyas of our Gauriya Sampradaya. We have the acharyas of other Vaishnava Sampradayas. All of them, what they've given, such in terms of quantity, in terms of quality, what they have given is so immense that if one can have even a little appreciation of that and attempt to communicate that to others, then that is the duty of a guru, to be a follower of the previous acharyas. And what the previous acharyas are given to, give that to others. But you can also privately study. That's also one of the duties of a disciple, to study the... especially in ISKCON, we have to study the books of Srila Prabhupada, previous acharya's teachings, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given, what all the previous acharyas have given. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, among his teachings, he's also warning about giving instruction. Loye sadhu besh ani upadeshe ei boro mayararanga. Speaking about himself, as if he is the kind of person who's not qualified to be a guru, although he is immense. He is. I mean, there's no question of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Is he qualified or is he not? He is. Sometimes people ask me, when did you become a guru? Like it's, you know, when did you get your MSc or something like this, like some point in time. But for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for the great liberated acharyas, there's no question of when he became a guru. But they come to this world only for that purpose, to give the knowledge of the spiritual world. So he's speaking to instruct us, to warn us, that taking the dress of a sadhu, dressing as a sadhu, I'm giving instructions to others. This is just the play of Maya. So he's taking that position. That in this way, warning that having taken the role of a sadhu or a guru, if we give anything but the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, then we become rascals. But actually, it's just like the acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they don't become gurus. They are gurus. So similarly, those who cheat, they don't become rascals. They're already rascals. And they simply develop their rascaldom or move to a higher level of rascaldom by taking the role of gurus. It's not that they become a rascal by giving wrong instruction, but they find the perfect outlet for their rascaldom in which they can cheat others very seriously. So, we find all over the world there is so much atheism. And it's not only because of people's sinful propensity. But when you see the people who are supposed to be representing God, you think, well, if these are God's representatives, better to be an atheist. So fortunately, we've come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who saved us from all these bogus sadhus. My bad luck, I said that in Prabhupada installed Radha Gokulananda in just outside London in 1973, and I was living, my father's house was just a short distance from there, about 10 miles or something like that. It's about 15 kilometers. And my best friend at school, maybe around that time, around 1973, must have been around that time, he showed me two books of Prabhupada, which he had got from devotees in London. But my immediate response was, no, no, I don't want to see that. I know all these Indian gurus, they're all cheaters. So 2 years of my life, 75 I managed to join. But 2 years of my life was by my own sinful propensities, and because I just seeing the books of Prabhupada, just knowing it's something Indian, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. So fortunately, Prabhupada, he gave us the actual message. So we should be actual gurus. Everyone should be an actual guru by preaching the message of Krishna consciousness as given in Srila Prabhupada's books. I can sit here and instruct you if I instruct what Prabhupada has instructed. Anything else, then it's a disaster for me and for you. So you should all read Prabhupada's books very carefully. And if I say anything different, you can shoot me. Do it quickly. First, you can try and reform me, but otherwise shoot me so I don't make more offenses. So you should know what's in them. So this lecture, I'm saying it's important because I have to speak what's there. Because you may say, well, we can just read Prabhupada's books. But practically we see, although there is this philosophy that you just read Prabhupada's books and then you understand everything yourself. You don't need any guru to guide you. Get some water for drinking. Generally, I try to avoid, but I'm going to lose my voice. But the people who say that, they're also become gurus by saying that. They're telling you how to understand Prabhupada. In that way, they're becoming a guru. It's like this Krishnamurti. He said, don't read books. It's written in his book. Don't become a disciple of anyone. But he's giving instruction on how you don't need any guru. So it's contradictory. He's cheating. So in every generation, it's required that those who have heard from gurus, they instruct others, and in this way, jare dekho tare kaha krishna upadesh amaragya guru hoyatara edesh. They become gurus and instruct others. What do they instruct? They instruct what they receive from the from their own guru. And that will go on in every generation. If we may say just read Prabhupada's books, but even to say that, that's giving an instruction. And then people read the books and they say, well, how are we to understand this? Because even Prabhupada himself, you see, he may say, well, why study Prabhupada's books? You can go directly to Krishna. Then you just read Bhagavad Gita by yourself. You don't need the, you can read Bhagavatam, you just get the Acharya's commentaries. But first of all, you have to learn Sanskrit, because most people these days, they're not raised with Sanskrit. Now, who are you going to learn Sanskrit from? Whoever teaches you, you all imbibe his, whoever you learn anything from, you imbibe their outlook and their attitude. Even if you learn how to cook chapatis from someone, by associating with them, whatever there is their outlook on life, that will tend to influence you. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. By our association, our desires develop. So if we learn Sanskrit, I'll learn Sanskrit and then I'll just study it myself, Bhagavad Gita. You won't understand anything. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, not because Arjuna was a Sanskrit scholar, but because he was a devotee. Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hi etaduktamam. There are so many Sanskrit scholars who made a... They... Sakalene hamahata yoga nashta parantapa. This yoga was spoiled. How could it be destroyed? How can it be... It's not destroyed, but the way people misrepresent it means that even though others may be teaching Bhagavad Gita, they may be teaching all the shlokas, but people don't understand, they don't get the actual message. Therefore, Prabhupada's commentaries are there. But even then, you may be confused. The point is, we've already had so many gurus. We've been taught by so many, before we can even get to the point of tadvijñānātam saguram eva abhigacchat. We've had so many experiences, we've had so many people teaching us so many things, we have so many impressions in our mind from previous lives, so that even when we come to read Srila Prabhupada's books, we don't come as a perfect disciple. We don't have any idea what it means to be a perfect disciple. We have so many preconceptions, which are all misconceptions. So it requires to be explained to us. Just like some people, they get disturbed reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, where in the one of the purports in the first chapter, Srila Prabhupada says that women in general are less intelligent and they They're like children. They need to be protected. But although that was the general understanding all over the world since time immemorial, in the modern age, people are more intelligent. And they've discovered that this is not true. And so they get disturbed when they read this. And then they may not want to read it. They'll say, you see, well, Prabhupada, he's coming from some old idea. He has these old ideas which are all wrong. See, he didn't have a proper education, as we have heard. He comes from the dark ages. So they may reject it. So how are we to understand this? Katame tad vijaniyam. How are we to properly understand this? Then that requires someone to explain. So it requires to be explained. And practically, we see that within ISKCON, there are different understandings of what Srila Prabhupada taught. That's why some people think it's quite acceptable in the line of Srila Prabhupada to dress Radha and Krishna as Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus. I don't find that in Prabhupada's teachings, but someone did. So it makes a difference. It does make a difference who you hear from. There are different understandings. And they're not all the same. And it's not that you can just say that, well, we're all Vaishnavas, and therefore it's all the same, because people have different understanding of what it means. Just like Kishore Prabhu told me he met at one station someone who came and introduced himself to Kishore as a Vaishnava. Kishore was a little surprised at some of the things he said after that. I wasn't surprised, because I've been traveling and meeting people in India for many years. But Kishore Prabhu was surprised because this man, what did he say? That all the paths are the same and you can eat whatever you like. And it was like a complete Mayavadi. He gave the definition of a Vaishnava means a Vaishya who's a vegetarian. And not what we would call a Vaishnava. So there may be various people who, in the name of Srila Prabhupada, do so many different things. There, even during Srila Prabhupada's presence, there was some insane person in America whose name is still infamous. This was in the 1970s. His name was Charles Manson, and he had a gang of women, and he kidnapped people and killed them very cruelly and chanted Hare Krishna while he did it. So he might have thought he was a Vaishnava. He's chanting Hare Krishna. He's a demon. Somehow he got the idea to, must be from the devotees. He's misusing that chanting. So that's an extreme example of how someone can take the name of Krishna, take the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, and thoroughly misrepresent them. That may be in more subtle ways also. But the subtle ways are more dangerous. If someone is killing others and chanting Hare Krishna, then almost everyone can understand this. Well, there may be circumstances, just like Arjuna was asked to kill for Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, we're not asked to do that. Of course, Arjuna, he also wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada specifically said that. Arjuna was not chanting on beads. If Arjuna had proposed, I'll just sit here and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna would have told him, no! I have to chant 16 rounds, then I'll fight. Forget it! Don't chant any rounds. Just get out there and fight. Arjuna wasn't chanting any rounds. That was for him. For us, we have to chant rounds. But more or less, everyone can understand that someone who commits murders and chants Hare Krishna is not, in the modern age especially, they're not properly following the teachings of Krishna. But the subtle deviations are more dangerous. Because subtle deviation means it becomes a tangent. And what's the word for tangent? Sanskritam? Do you know? All the words are there. All the mathematics comes from India. All the words are there. Sine, cosine, all these terms are there. There must be a word for it. Anyone have a Sanskrit dictionary in their computer? Anyway, tangent, it means if there's a point and a line proceeds from that, and another line proceeds from it at an angle, that is called a tangent. You must have studied it at school. Engineer? You don't know this Hindi word? You just say tangent. And if it goes off at a 45 degree angle, then practically immediately you can understand that it's deviated from the first line. Isn't it? But if it's at an angle of 0.0045 degrees, then if you draw the two lines, in the beginning it looks like they're the same line. But gradually, as you go on in time or space, then you can see that the first line is going toward another point. It's not so the straight line that Srila Prabhupada showed us is from here to the lotus feet of Krishna. But if you go at a tangent, looks like you may be going up, you may be very piously chanting Hare Krishna, but you might get caught in the heavenly planets or even in the impersonal Brahman. Because it's not going exactly on the same point. Even if it's 0.0001 deviation, we have a long way to go to reach Krishna. So in the meantime, if we're deviate, of course, Krishna's very kind, so if there's a little deviation, he may rectify that. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti tam. Practically, we all have some deviation because we all have our rascal minds to deal with. But Krishna gives the intelligence to those who are trying that they will come to him. But if there is if it's not to the actual point, then the danger is there that in the name of bhakti, we're going to go away actually from bhakti. And that's why we find in the Vaishnava sampradayas of the present day that they're mostly deviated from the proper point. The followers, even though they may be going through the rituals, most of them nowadays don't even go through the rituals, but they're deviated from the actual point. Why is that? Why, in the name of being Vaishnavas, we'll just like here in Tamil Nadu, there are so many people who are from Vaishnava families. Vaishnava, if we say Vaishnava family in Tamil Nadu, it mostly means the Ramanuja followers. In Gujarat, at least previously, Vaishnava generally meant the followers of Vallabhacharya. So like that. But why do we find that people from Vaishnava families in Tamil Nadu, there many are following this or following, or they say they anyway they worship Sai Baba or some. There was until recently, he's gone out of fashion now. There's some Kalki avatar down here. Those of you who are from North India never heard of him. Even from Belgaum, I don't think you hardly heard of him, is it? He's just a little bit popular in this part of the south. But they're worshipping these people. Why? How could they do that? Coming from a sampradaya so good with the teachings of Ramanuja and so many great acharyas. Because it wasn't taught properly. The tradition of teaching became lost. And therefore, even superficially, people consider themselves to be Vaishnavas. But they're not. So we should be very careful in following the teachings of Prabhupada. That we don't impose our own misconceptions. Just hear me. There's one chapter of Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita called Just Hear Me. Prabhupada was confident that if people just actually were able to hear him, then the result would be Shunvatang Swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Vidantyasto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. Krishna would cleanse the heart. What does that mean? Of all the misconceptions of those who hear and chant about Krishna and then they become devotees. And then Evang Prasanna Manaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogata. Then they become happy on the platform of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada was speaking. And by his personal presence, demonstrating what it means to be a devotee of Krishna, misconceptions, he would address them, he would answer questions. And in this way, he brought people to Krishna consciousness. And as a genuine acharya, he, by his speaking, distinguished reality from illusion for the benefit of all. So it is quite possible to take Shastra, which is meant for giving reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all, and just taking it, speaking it, and giving it illusion, giving illusion for the non-benefit of all. And that's mostly what goes on in the name of Bhagavad Katha. The same verses from Bhagavatam are spoken. People are hearing. They're thinking we're being benefited. We're getting bhakti. But the end result is no one goes to Krishna. They get more, they get confirmed in their illusion because they didn't hear this. That Atendra Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendra Priti Icha Dhare Premana. They didn't understand the purport of this. What are its implications? Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Habeman Tobe Hamaharibo Sri Vrindava. When we give up all ideas of sense gratification, then only the mind will be purified, then we can see Vrindava. Then we become qualified to actually enter into the message of Bhagavata. People want rasa. Bhagavatam is meant for giving rasa. Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva tells us, pibhata bhagavata rasa. Drink this nectar, this rasa of Bhagavata. But that's they should do, but first of all, they should hear dharma projita kaitava atra. First, you have to kick out all the wrong ideas. We can't taste the actual nectar of Krishna bhakti as long as we are desirous of enjoying this material world or enjoying bhakti. Bhakti is bliss. Bhakti is Haladini Shakti. Radha, she is bhakti. And she infuses her bliss in all those that serve Krishna. But she doesn't, that bliss does not get given or cannot enter the heart of those who have not undergone this process. Srinvatang shataya nityam grinatas chasvacheshtitam. Then that will not enter the heart of those who have not heard with faith and properly tried to understand. So, I have the egoism, you could say, of saying that what I have to say is important and you should hear it. So, that is sounds very egoistic. This whole function may appear to be very egoistic. I'm coming here and all of you come here to praise me. With garlands and foot washing and all this kind of thing. And I'm supposed to accept all that. I should accept that. If I give what you are supposed to be praising me because I give you that which is worth getting. If I give anything else, then it's just a hollow show. Then otherwise it's like some drama. Just like this, how many years ago? Maybe almost 30 years ago, this Ramayana TV series came that was so popular. And the actress of Sita, wherever she went, the people wanted to worship her like Sita. She didn't like it because she was a Bollywood actress. She didn't want to be like Sita. So she was playing the part of Sita, but it was just a farce. Jatra dole narad. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to use this expression. Narada means an actor, Narada. Just playing, just a professional actor. That's all. So, if I don't give according to my limited capacity what I'm supposed to give, which is the teachings of Shastra as we've received it from Srila Prabhupada. And you also, if you think that by coming here and worshipping me, you're going to get some kind of benefit that is rejected, dharma projita kaitava, then it's just like a drama, that's all. There's no actual benefit to anyone. Just Drama means you're just going through the motions, that's all, with no feeling. So many times I saw in Bangladesh these professional kirtan groups. It means they have a slot, usually two hours. They come on, they do their kirtan, Hare, like this. You can't find the Maha Mantra most of the time. If you listen very carefully, you might, you know, in 10 minutes there might be one mantra or something. It's mostly like voice exercises, going up and down the scale. So they have their 2 hour slot, but if the next group is late, because, you know, they have to wake up and then put on their costumes and everything and have their last biri. So if they're late, then the group, because the kirtan has to go on non-stop, so the group that's doing overtime, they just give up all kinds of acting and stuff. And they're just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, with a deliberately uninteresting style and looking like this, looking very angry. Then the other group comes on and they chastise them, and then they run off stage to smoke a biddy because it's been 2 hours without a biddy. And then the Vaishnavis will come with biri, for biri seva, because all good Vaishnavas, they smoke like this. Actually, some of the more sophisticated ones, they use this hookah. But mostly biri. So they're making a show of chanting Hare Krishna. But it's just a show, that's all. They get some money. They have to support their families. There may be some feeling. I'm not saying they're completely, but the main motive is they wouldn't have gone to that place to chant Hare Krishna if they weren't getting paid for it. So we don't want things to degenerate like that. And it can do. In fact, we are seeing more and more in our society that exactly that is happening. They're organizing non-stop kirtans in which seems the main qualification for a singer is that they can sing in a very entertaining style. What is their understanding of Shastra? If they ever read any Shastra? Whether they're chanting 16 rounds or not? Whether they follow four regulated principles? I don't think all of them are, those famous kirtan leaders. What do you think? In fact, I can think of one in particular who's very popular, who's almost certainly not following all these things, but very popular because he sings nicely. So, see, I'm telling you. See, I told you something valuable, right? You can judge for yourself. Is it valuable? Because this is going on in Prabhupada's movement, so I should tell you. From what I've understood, I got good training in my youth in Bangladesh, that even people with a lot of, you could say, sentimental feeling for bhakti, for lack of proper guidance, they don't get the real thing. So now, Srila Prabhupada's movement is spreading there, and its effect is definitely pronounced there. I got a letter from England during my early days in Bangladesh. In those days, letter meant it took about 2 weeks to reach. Nowadays, email, instant. You just have to log in. So in these days, I heard something about one of the leaders there who one of the leaders in England. I'd been there living in the ISKCON temples in England until recently before that. And there was some talk about there were very ecstatic kirtans. But some devotees were thinking it was a bit unusual. So I wrote to one of my friends, devotees in England, and said, "What's going on over there?" And he wrote back and said, "Yeah, the kirtans are really ecstatic, and this leader, he'll dance madly, and sometimes he's sitting on his Vyasasan, and he, in ecstasy, he'll fall off." And I knew immediately, I'm seeing this all around me every day, this is just plain sahajya. So by Prabhupada's mercy, I had a good training in those early days. Of course, the main training comes from reading Prabhupada's books, associating with devotees, hearing. But we have to see it in practice. Otherwise, we may be bewildered, just like in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, and so many learned Vaishnav pandits were there, and they were calling him, "Come to see the Krishna is coming at night and dancing on Kaliya." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he wasn't interested to go. But his associate, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he thought, Krishna's appeared, dancing on the head of Kaliya. And all the learned people, they're calling us to, we should all go. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't go, just stay here." Balabhadra, he's very anxious to go. So eventually it became understood that this so-called incarnation of Krishna appearing on Kaliya Lake, dancing on the head of Kaliya, what it was, there was a fisherman at night coming, and he had some lamp, and maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but if you live in the cities all your life, you won't know. But if you go to a place where there's no electricity and you just have a little lamp to see by, then it's quite... Savyasachi can tell us, now he knows. Quite often you can imagine something's there in your mind, you think something's there. It's not there, but because you can't see clearly, you can only make it out in some very vague way, and it's the nature of the mind to try to ascribe meaning, even if we don't properly understand something. So you may imagine something is there, but it's not there. It's called an optical illusion. But the illusion's actually in the mind. There's one photo of Srila Prabhupada which comes up in my screensaver. And I can't understand whether there's Prabhupada in the background, and I can't understand whether the background is the beach and the sea, or whether it's a wall with the sky behind it. I can't work it out. I wonder if anyone could tell me. So like that, what had happened was a fisherman, he had a little lamp and he was on the water catching fish, or killing fish, as it states in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And people thought Krishna, because it was the Kaliya Hrad, or the place where Krishna had danced on Kaliya, that Krishna is coming every night and dancing on Kaliya. So they were learned, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he was a learned Vaishnava, but he was misled. Into thinking that, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he knew this is not. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we take him as a Vaishnava Acharya, he could understand this is not possible. But Krishna, he just doesn't appear like this just because some people think like that. So they were misled. So by studying Shastra, we should understand what are the symptoms. This is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. What are the different tattvas? If we hear someone is a great Vaishnava, they're falling off their seat in ecstasy, we should immediately, oh, be careful. Why? Vaishnava, he's evang, what is that? Evang rata sapriya nama kirtya jata anuraga. Duta chitta uchai hazatiti rodati unmadava nrityati. He dances like a madman, not caring for outsiders. He laughs, cries. So, if we see someone like that, we should think. If they're chanting the holy names and dancing and crying in ecstasy, should we not accept them as a great Vaishnava? But then our recent acharyas have been very cautious in this regard. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't openly do this. Only in the association of his devotees, who are actually pure devotees. So our recent acharyas have been very cautious about this. Even one time, Srila Prabhupada, he was lecturing and suddenly he became gripped by ecstasy, which is always there, but because he's coming down from the Paramahamsa platform to preach, he's acting in many ways like an ordinary devotee. But occasionally that ecstasy would burst out and Srila Prabhupada would become overcome by ecstasy. So in one lecture that happened, and Prabhupada was sitting in front of so many devotees, just stunned in ecstasy, and no one knew what to do. Prabhupada had never instructed what to do when your spiritual master becomes stunned in ecstasy. So then after some time, not very long time, one of the devotees started chanting Hare Krishna, which is actually, if we read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, what the devotees would do to, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went deeply into ecstasy, devotees would chant the name into his ears and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would gradually come to external consciousness, or at least semi-external consciousness. So some of the devotees, they thought we shouldn't, the devotee who did that was Hansadutta, he shouldn't have done that. He should have let Prabhupada remain in his ecstasy. So afterwards, some of the devotees asked Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, what should we do if you go into ecstasy? And Prabhupada said, almost as if apologizing, I don't do that very often. So, Prabhupada set that example, being very cautious. So, we should... So, like this, there are so many points, how to recognize them in practice. Shastra teaches us Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. The scientific knowledge of Krishna consciousness, how are we to practically apply that in every circumstance? Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. He went to the Western world and practically moment by moment in the Western world, he experienced situations and the kinds of people who he had no experience of. How do you deal with, for instance, some drunken person who, when you're lecturing in the storefront to a group of hippies who are gradually becoming devotees, a drunken person walks into the storefront with some rolls of toilet paper and puts it down and says something and walks out? How do you react? Which shastra are you going to look it up in? What do you... Prabhupada says, he made a start in devotional service. He made some offering. But devotees don't use toilet paper. At least they didn't used to. Maybe it's East-West fusion or something. Now devotees are using toilet paper, but at least Prabhupada taught us not to use toilet paper. I don't know what Prabhupada used them for, but Prabhupada, he made an offering, even though he's crazy. Somehow he made an offering to Krishna. So like that, Prabhupada, all the time, he was in situations where there's no precedent. I mean, we have Shastra, and then we have the lives of the acharyas. We learn how they acted in various situations, what they did, how they preached. But the kind of situations that Prabhupada faced, there's no precedent for that. Going among just extremely impious people with no exposure whatsoever to Krishna consciousness. We find in the lives of the acharyas that some of them, even Muslims, would become devotees by their influence. We find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when he was crossing the river, on the other side was going from Orissa, Utkal, to Bengal, crossing the Rup Narayan River. So on the other side, that was a very dangerous place because that was ruled by a Muslim king who was extremely sinful. It wasn't a safe place for sadhus or for anyone. His kingdom. So we find that that king, when he, what happened, he sent his, because he heard that something's going on the other side of the river. So kings, they always have to keep spies in the adjoining kingdoms to get the news and find out what's going on. So some of his spies, who are all Muslims, they came back chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. And they'd been, by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they'd all become imbued with the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So the king came in, and he was lamenting. See, I didn't take birth in a Hindu family, so I can't associate with you. Even though he was so sinful, he came to the lotus feet. He got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rasikananda, that would be three generations later from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the disciplic succession. He would preach among Muslims, also some very sinful people. They also became his disciples. Of course, we're not saying that Muslims, they're all, well, I'll say it off the mic, it's true. They are mostly by their culture. It's sinful, meat eating, cow killing. But Rasikananda was able to bring them to Krishna consciousness. But that's nothing compared to what Prabhupada did, because Prabhupada went among people. You see, even the Muslims, some of them were so against Vedic culture. There were so many atrocities, but they had some contact with it. And they may have had some idea that there are saintly people. You see, even in their own tradition, there are some saintly people. But the people that Prabhupada, he worked with, they had no idea that there's even any such thing as saintly people. I know myself. I mean, we heard something about the saints when I was a child, but the saints were the ones who... They killed some Catholic saints were the ones who were killing more Protestants. There were some of the, I read a book about the saints, and most of them were very unimpressive. Francis of Assisi was well, in Croatia must be well known also. In England at that time I was from, even though I was raised as a Catholic, I think they don't like Italians or something. But we didn't hear much about him. We were just told about all these ones who were killing the Protestants and all that. So, at least I had no idea that there was any such thing as a saintly person. My only idea was that these gurus came from India, and by Krishna's grace, even as a child, I could understand they're totally bogus. I mean, you don't have to be that intelligent to understand they're bogus. So the people Prabhupada was preaching, and they had no touch of any culture, of any actual human culture whatsoever, even though they're promoting all over the world that the Western standard is actual culture. But according to Vedic culture, they're just totally nothing, no idea. I think it was Gaga Muni, he was saying something about, he was with Prabhupada, he was one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples from New York, Jewish by birth, white bodied. Maybe it was Brahmananda. Anyway, in Africa, Prabhupada was there and he said to, it must have been Brahmananda, his Gaga Muni's elder brother. So Prabhupada went there and things were happening like the new bhaktas, Africans in Africa, they were taking Prabhupada's clothes off the line and wearing them. Because actually in their culture, they share everything, so they didn't know all this. So maybe Murari can... You remember this? Brahmananda said they're aborigines. Actually, it was Gaga Muni. Maybe it was not in Africa. But Prabhupada said, to me, you are a white aborigine. For Prabhupada, the people he was living among, they were, you might think that Prabhupada had to go among these drunken people on the Bowery and they're very uncivilized. But Prabhupada saw everyone as totally uncivilized. By Vedic sun, everyone was completely uncivilized. So, how to understand Prabhupada, that we also have to see. That is it that everything Prabhupada introduced is meant to be there forever? We have to consider. Because he was, after all, preaching in a not complete, in a culture that was a long way away from the traditional standard. So like this, we find within our society that there are different interpretations of how we should follow Srila Prabhupada. Some say that, well, because Srila Prabhupada made adjustments to the Western world, so we can, for preaching, for introducing people to Krishna consciousness, so we can go on doing that more and more and more. The problem is that the more you adjust, then the further away you get away from the original culture that is meant or is favorable for bringing people actually to Krishna consciousness. So then you get some like myself who say, well, let's move closer to the original culture, which is actually helpful for us to be Krishna conscious. So there's a difference of outlook there. So, just like we see, there's a cultural divide within our society between those who want to be, you could say, very westernized or modernized and amalgamate all cultures and chant Hare Krishna. And those who say that now, the Vedic culture in and of itself is important. It's not that you just chant Hare Krishna and just do whatever you like, however you like. There is a culture which is conducive to Krishna consciousness. So then again, if we say, all right, that culture is conducive, how much can we bring in the modern age? How much of that, then again, it may be quite complex. How much can we, how much of the modern Indian culture, people say it's influenced by Islam, the separation between men and women, although Srila Prabhupada himself, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, in one purport, says that the idea of separating men from women It was right there with the queens of Krishna at Dwaraka. So it's not a Muslim invention. Prabhupada countered that already. But these kinds of questions are there. How far is it possible? How far is it desirable? We are all Vaishnavas, so we don't have to follow these things. That's also stated, which if it was, well, theoretically it's true, but we're not, many of us are not Vaishnavas of the category that we don't need to follow any culture. Or rather, those who are Vaishnavas, they prefer to follow the culture. So there may be complex discussions. How are we going to understand all these things? Therefore, again, coming back to that point, that we have to follow someone. We may say that, well, I'll read all the books and then I'll decide. Well, but in the meantime, we have to associate with devotees. It's not that we can just hide away and read the books. We have to associate with devotees or with non-devotees. If we say, I'll just read the books and follow Prabhupada. But one of Prabhupada's main instructions, or the main instructions of Shastra, is to associate with devotees. Then who are we going to associate with? We'll have to choose our association. Do you want to, you may prefer to associate with a devotee who says that, well, we shouldn't be so strict. All the men and women can all mix up and be brothers and sisters because we're all Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis. Don't see the body, but the problem is we do see the body. Therefore, there are others like myself who say, better be strict. Not harsh, but follow some basic observances. Otherwise, there'll be trouble. So then, even before we've read everything, we have to associate with devotees, we have to take some association. So you have to take some, which means we have to take some guidance. So this idea that you just read Prabhupada's books and then you have Prabhupada as your guru, then what are you going to do? You're going to then you have to associate with devotees. That's one of the instructions of Prabhupada. Then who are you going to associate with? You're going to associate with devotees who they may say that, yeah, we're following Prabhupada, we're having Nam Kirtan with someone who's leading the Kirtan, doesn't follow all the regulated principles, doesn't chant 16 rounds, but he sings very nicely and people are inspired. So you may want to associate with them, or you may come to me and I'll say, don't go there. So it's not that everyone is the same and you'll get the same instruction. So yes, Prabhupada is our guru. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is our guru. They are gurus who are gurus because they follow the previous acharyas. But like I said, that subtle difference. If someone says to you, I'm following Srila Prabhupada, let's go to McDonald's and have a hamburger. Then it's very easy to understand he's not following Srila Prabhupada. He may say he's following. Hamburger, it's a meat preparation. Must be McDonald's main product. Famous. Lucky for you if you haven't heard of it, which seems many of you haven't. See, there's benefit of living in India. So far, you don't know what McDonald's hamburgers are. In America, if you don't know what McDonald's hamburgers are, people think you're just very, very strange. It's like living in India, not knowing who Sachin Tendulkar is. People think you're very strange. How can you live in India and not know? All the kids in Mayapur, they know her. Isn't it? No. So that you can easily understand. But then if someone says, let's go to the kirtan, it's a really great kirtan, everyone's dancing, everyone's absorbed in ecstasy, and I may say, well, what's that ecstasy? What platform is that coming from? Is that actually coming from the spiritual platform? See, now we have to apply the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. Spiritual platform that comes through those, Prabhupada said, those who are pure, at least they purely follow. And there are certain basic instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave. Chant 16 rounds minimum every day. Follow the four regulated principles. Rise early. Mangalarti, all these things. So, as I see, I saw in Bangladesh so much ecstasy. But the ecstasy would terminate in a biddy. And people attending, bah, ki ananda. But it was all ananda. So many things I see. It's just really, really a drama. Someone is coming and putting the chandan on the people's heads. The one stands up and embraces him. And then they both collapse unconscious in ecstasy. And then someone comes and fans them with a cloth. And just drama. But people are thinking, this is ecstasy. Just, there's no ecstasy. They may think it's ecstasy, but they're cut off from the actual mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So our devotees, they may not be so much cut off, but they're on the tangent. Can you see? They're on the tangent. And it's not 0.0001. The angle is more than that. It's a dangerous tangent. So therefore I'm saying, it is important that you hear from me. I have this egoism, you could say. Egoism, but then what else should I say? Should I say, yes, this is very nice. But I didn't get that from Prabhupada, so why should I give it? What I heard from Prabhupada, this verse, there was like 10, 20 times a day I'd quote this in Bangladesh. Avaishnava mukhod girnam putam harikatamritam shravana naiva kartavya sarpo chishtam yatapaya. Hearing harikata, which by its nature is nectar, hearing that from a non-Vaishnava acts like poison. You may say, well, they're Vaishnavas. But not according to what our acharyas have taught us. Who are the Vaishnavas we should hear from? Oh, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sorry, I went a bit over time.